We've been talking, and I'm trying to remember if you saw any of this. We were looking at, there's a short list of gifts in Ephesians 4, and we said, well, how come it's so much shorter than the longer gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans 12? And one of the insights that we had was that actually this short list of gifts comprises really kind of a abbreviated, I guess you could say, picture of the whole of the church's ministry. That you could categorize in some way all of the other gifts as fitting best into an area of ministry. We used an agricultural metaphor to say that apostles are, literally that means ones who are sent, right? So the apostles are people who go out into new territory and till the soil. Evangelists, then in this metaphor, follow up by planting the seeds. And evangelists are literally speakers of good news. Right? So these people are sent out. They connect with people who may not even be interested at all, but help find interest even. These people can actually connect with people and share the good news directly with people who find that they are interested. Pastor teachers, then, if we're following the same cycle around, do what? In the agricultural metaphor?
Wasn't it they water?
Yep. They water, fertilize, let's say feed, and facilitate the growth of the body. And the prophets, we talked about how often in Scripture the prophets are against the flow of whatever else happens, that God uses them in a special ministry to correct the body, to deal with fanaticism, to take away from the body things that aren't healthy and aren't right. And so we use the analogy in our agricultural metaphor that the prophets often have a pruning ministry for what's going on and growing.
And you know, that's kind of like my paraphrase thing. That, their job when you're reading the Bible is hard. That's what I'm starting to get.
Yes.
My last job that I had where I was teaching.
Yeah.
Fun, and everybody's, oh, and they come in and they go, oh, I just love what you're doing.
Yeah, but when those people go out and then start breaking the building code and so on to run their business.
People now, that you have to correct them.
Yeah.
It's always, it's like, it's a harder thing.
You're the bad guy.
Yeah, I'm in the pruning category where before I was doing it just career-wise.
Right.
And it has got to be the hardest because it wears on you emotionally. You can't keep it at home. You're exhausted. It mentally drains you. No matter how hard you try to put it aside.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can just see how like Jonah and all those people, they didn't want to read it because you don't want to be... You get tired of being the bad guy.
Yeah, wouldn't you like to get on a ship to Tarshish?
The thing is, you know how his thing, he said, well, it would make a mockery of me when I go and tell the people and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing. Like, what I'm learning, if you steer things the right way, you're the naysayer. So I've warned the council, but
right.
And then the people go, oh, you're always just...
Yeah.
But if I hadn't have done that, they would have been in a worse scenario. But if you don't warn them, then the catastrophe.
It happens, right.
People fight in the
And so, is it better to warn them and be mocked and made fun of when it doesn't, when the bad things don't happen, or to just let them go and let the crash happen, and then at least you can say, I told you so.
Right, but this is kind of what I totally identify with why Jonah behaved the way he did.
Yeah, makes a lot more sense.
Because he probably did, you know, it's one of those things we think, oh, but in that case, but those probably, I'm just been thinking about that over the last week, the different, is in all of our lives, we play a little bit of all those roles.
Yeah, we do.
Some of us have one gift or another. It's, and
that really, a healthy life, whether it's the church life or whatever, a healthy life has elements of all these in it. If you never, just personally, if you never do anything new, you know, you stagnate. And so you have to have something new. There's that kind of transition. And if you never correct what's going on in your life that's wrong, then you get into trouble. And so all of this is part of that. I'd just like you to look at the left half versus the right half. And tell me what these things have in common and what these things have in common with each other. What's this side about versus this side about? Or what do these, this side have in common versus what that side has in common?
I'd say the apostles and evangelists have to deal with something before it's growing, and the prophets and the pastors have to do something after it's
all right, after it's already established.
On one side and the other side, you have nothing. You're starting with nothing.
All right.
On the other side, you're working with something that's there.
So in our analogy of agriculture, these people are dealing mostly, we could say, with the bare earth. And these people are dealing with the actual, you know, living plant. In the spiritual terms, then, of actually the church structure and the ministry of the church itself, how would you put that? These people then are working with what group of people mostly?
Unbelievers.
All right. These people are working with those that are outside the body, and these people are assigned to work with those that are already part of the body, inside the body. Jonah was a unique situation where he was a prophet sent to people who were unbelievers. And so there's a bit of overlap. The church itself has a prophetic ministry to unbelievers. We're to warn the world, just like Jonah, that there's an end coming if people don't repent. But on the whole, the prophets worked with the people of God. And on the whole, the apostles and evangelists are sent out to reach people who are unreached. So we can just put it this way, outside and inside. So, what conclusion could we draw about the balance of ministries in the church, just from that simple observation? How ought the church's ministries to be balanced? Yeah.
Because otherwise you got no plants to water if you don't have apostles and evangelists, but if you don't have people that are doing a lot of teaching or a lot of scolding,
then what you've grown,
you generate new people to grow stuff.
Right. Right? There needs to be a balance, even just roughly, of ministry that is nurturing, right, and that is correcting. We need to have church, right? We need to have Sabbath school. We need to have church socials and do things that grow people in maturity and help them to be stronger Christians, help them to have a better understanding of what Christianity is about. We need church discipline. It's not appropriate to simply run a church as though we're going to tell you all kinds of wonderful things, what it's right to do and what's not right to do. But if you defy God and still want to be part of this church, we won't correct you. Right? That doesn't work. You need the prophetic aspect of ministry. You need correction. We need to hold each other accountable in order to stay healthy. So we need this focus on the internal ministry of the church. And we need equally, I guess we would say, a focus on reaching out. That if we don't have both aspects, we become sick, ingrown, have problems. If we only focus all our outreach on evangelism, right, which is connecting with people who have enough of an interest that we can preach the gospel to them, we can only hit, you know, the people who've done research about this say that really there's a very small percentage of the population that are at a point in their lives where they're ready to make a decision about Christ Jesus. And so we need to be doing ministry and work that connects with people who are farther away from that point, to invite them, to help stir up an interest to where we can actually share with them the message, the good news about Jesus Christ himself. But if we never do some of this work that reaches the people who are perhaps farther away from making that decision, we'll soon run out of people who are at that point of decision and who can hear. And then what are the pastor teachers going to do? They're going to teach the people who are sitting here until everyone gets old and dies, and the church is gone. You know, so we need that balance of ministry, of nurture and outreach of outreach to people who are ready to make a decision and connecting with people who are maybe farther away.
I think of it as 7 and 8.
All right.
You know, so many. I was reading a little pamphlet that Jehovah's Witnesses put out.
Yeah.
Actually, it was a real good pamphlet. The only thing that I saw in that pamphlet was they felt that the love should be just in the church.
Hmm.
In other words, love one another, but it should just be in the church, in other words. And but as you see the gospel reaching out to, if you don't love your neighbor,
then you can't really say that you love God, according to John.
Right.
Yeah.
So I see it as love for your neighbor. In other words, you stop and you think, are we held accountable for not telling the good news?
Hmm. All right. Well, it seems like if we're part of the body, that in some way or another, we have a responsibility to either be involved directly or support those who are being involved directly in telling the good news to people. And sometimes people need an approach that is just stirring up their interest because they're not ready to hear the good news right now. You know, and sometimes people are right at that place where they're ready to hear the good news. And we need to be involved in people's lives in with enough intimacy, right, that we know whether we can share with them the good news or whether we just need to keep cultivating a friendship and sharing with them in our lifestyle and in other ways a message that would encourage them to take God seriously. Yeah. But we are held responsible if we have opportunities to share and we don't.
You know, you always think, well, if you look at a person close enough and long enough, you're going to see you're going to see his faults.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to be pointing them to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to ourselves, but to Jesus.
Although, where was I reading? Somewhere it said, I think it was in an Adventist review. It was one of those quotes that they have in the Adventist Life section, that a lot of people will never read a Bible, but they may read a Christian.
Right.
And so, yes, we point people to Christ. At the same time, we are the body of Christ here.
Right.
And we don't expect that no one will look at us to gauge whether or not they want to follow the God that we serve.
Yeah. And also the New Testament talks about you are living a physical.
Yeah, and Paul wasn't afraid to say, follow my example,
right,
as I follow Christ.
Right.
Yeah, so we'd like it if we all can grow and become mature so that we're not afraid for people to look at us to get a sense of what Christianity is about and what Jesus is about. That's part of our purpose for being here. Yeah, challenging stuff. All right, so can I ask you to do a little more thinking? How are we doing as far as a balance of ministry here in the Surprise Valley Church?
Not very good.
Well, and at this point I don't mean how effective have we been at converting the whole community. I just mean how balanced have we been. Do you understand my question? Do we expend all of our energy here on just maintaining the church service? Is it all, you know, nurture, and or do we have somewhat of a balance where we're connecting with people who are outside the church as well? What do you think? As you think of the activities that you've been involved in or the ministries that have been happening here in the last year or so, how are we doing on our balance as a congregation? What do you think and why?
I can't talk for other people, but talking for myself, you know, there is so much that we can do if we just set our mind to it. In other words, the Bible talks about ye of little faith. And I think the whole thing is sometimes we're afraid that people might look at us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear so many people say about religion, well, I don't have to go to church to be as good as he is.
Yeah. Yeah, and the focus of my question is not so much on are we doing enough, as it is on how balanced is what we're doing. Just taking what we have been able to do. Talk to me, what are some of the ministries of this congregation? What are some of the things that we have done as a church? We run a church service every week, right? Right? Where would you put that? Is that mostly this side or that side? Mostly over here. Okay? Not entirely, though, because we have had guests invited to worship with us, either on a special occasion or two, or, you know, even just some on a more regular basis. So this is largely a nurture-growing kind of a thing, but in some cases, we've turned it into an outreach event. And that's good when that's happened. We had our Friends and Neighbors Day. All right, what else? What are the ministries of this church that have been happening during this last year? All right, we did a depression workshop. Where would you put that?
Again.
Pardon?
And you're doing one again. That's kind of on the bottom.
Well, I think that I would probably put it largely here because we're not really preaching the gospel to people, but it is directed mostly at least this last time, we had mostly community people involved. It could serve this purpose as well and be, you know, beneficial to help people that are in the church grow. But it was, as far as I'm concerned, it was a really successful way of connecting with people in the community who may not be ready to make a decision about Christ, but whose picture and understanding of Christians and Christianity was affected by a positive experience that they had here in our congregation. So we did have at least one major event, right, that was 6 or 8 weeks long, that was a good outreach kind of an event. What else is happening around here? The community garden. Where would you put that?
Till the
soil and grow the food and prune the... Well, there's not a whole lot of pruning happening in the garden, but that was probably, you know, fairly heavy over here as well. And that's exciting. I mean, again, we're not necessarily gauging the success of it. We haven't had a whole lot of people become baptized because they were part of the community garden. But it is connecting with people outside the congregation in a positive way. Anything else you could think of? All right, the signs, magazines. And Ken has reported back from his friend down here at the cafe that at least he had a copy of the signs of the times that he was affected by and, you know, had read and was convinced of some truth. So, wow, I didn't even remember that particular ministry, okay? But that one is...
I remember because I still have my December magazines at the house.
Yeah, that has the potential to do both of these because there's a lot in there that, you know, really clearly preaches the gospel to people. And we don't know who may be receptive, who's finding it. All right, anything else? Any other ministries?
All our own outside, you know, individual outside friends.
All right. The contacts, the personal evangelism, we could call it, the contacts that people have, and the people that each of you invest in, you know, time and energy and relationships away from an organized outreach program here in the church.
Well, it's kind of interesting because, you know, they haven't come. The parents had said they had contact with a lot of us.
Yeah.
And decided that after contact with just not just me, but with a number of us, that they felt they could, you know, come and...
They found us to be reasonably safe and likable people.
well, that's nice. You know, Chet's like, whoa.
But they thought that
at
that point, you know, if they were going to do, that they would seek us out.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. Well, so far, most of the stuff you've been talking about is outreach. Isn't that wild? That's a pretty good thing. I wonder if it means maybe we could use some more. Of course, you know, a lot of that is spread out a little bit. In other words, we've had an event or two. And so maybe when you weigh it against, you know, our regular church services and board meetings and the ongoing nurture ministry, maybe they balance out reasonably well. You know, I'm not uncomfortable with the balance that I'm hearing you describe so far. Karina, well, have any of you been out working on Sabbath or anything that I should know about? In some ways, you know, pruning happens regularly as we're preaching and teaching and looking in the Word, and you're convicted about areas of your life where, this may not quite be right. You know, and sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to return some back tithe that maybe I didn't realize earlier, or maybe I wasn't responsible the way I should have been earlier. So some of that happens in an ongoing way, quietly, without maybe the rest of us knowing about it. And we'd love to have as few traumatic, you know, corrections of people or censure or anything like that happen as possible. And it may be, you know, I'm not all that familiar with, we don't have a whole lot of names on our books other than those that are, you know, present and here all the time. But it may be that some attention needs to be paid to, you know, are we responsible for anyone's soul who we know, you know, is on our books and on our membership roll, but is not practicing their faith? There may be some issues there that I'm not aware of that we haven't really examined carefully. So that's something we can ask ourselves. The other thing that Karina mentioned when she and I were thinking about this is that at times it just seems like it's hard for us to get together and do anything socially, and that we could use more, you know, strengthening of our life and time together. When we do get together, we always enjoy ourselves, but it'd be encouraging and strengthening to all of us to do some more things together, just to enjoy each other's company and build our relationships. But I'm not terribly discouraged about the balance of things here, the way we've described it. Can I share with you just a couple of thoughts? And well, I can, and I will, but please listen as I share with you a couple of reflections that I've had about this. Because one of my first thoughts is, well, but there's so much more we could be doing. And I don't want to get out of balance, you know, in order to do more just for the sake of doing more. And so one of the things that I noticed as I looked at the stuff that's already happened that's been successful, in many cases it's things that we were doing anyway, and we simply turned them into ministry, right? Gardening. Dale was going to grow a garden anyway. In fact, he wanted to grow a bigger garden anyway. And so all he did was say, Could I use some church resources and help? And can I do what I'm going to do anyway as a ministry? And I think that's a brilliant way to branch out and do more without getting yourself out of balance. Likewise, the Friends and Neighbors Day, for instance. We're going to have church here anyway, right? So why not make, at least periodically, something that we're going to do anyway, we're going to have a potluck anyway, into something that is an outreach ministry. Really? I think she's doing a lot better than she did a week or two ago about the quiet thing.
She still hasn't got the concept. Come on. Come here, Abigail.
So anyway, Karina and I were just thinking out loud, and she was saying, well, everybody has projects that they're doing. You know, Chet has a million and one things that need done around the ranch, and we're in the midst of a project, and Ken's always working on stuff. What if, and this is just a harebrained idea, but what if we, you know, shared projects? And we had a day where we went to Chet's house, and we just all worked together and made it a church social. And we probably wouldn't end up getting a lot more done than if we all worked separately, right? Because you're going to be on your job, and I'm not going to be on my job on that day. But we'd be more encouraged. We'd be able to share the time together and turn it into a nurturing ministry rather than just all separately doing them. Chet's got to do those projects anyway. And if we traded, you know, around to different places at different times, we'd all get to enjoy each other's company and do something productive that we were going to be doing anyway. Turn it into ministry. So just that kind of stuff began jumping out at us. How could we turn Sabbath school into more of an outreach rather than just a nurture thing? I know when I was visiting my grandparents, they had a very kind of old conservative church. And they were still doing, when I was a kid, what I understand used to happen in Sabbath school way back. They were still asking people how many pieces of literature they had passed out that week and how many people they had witnessed to that week. Now, I just remember as a kid observing these old people sitting there talking and thinking, you know, I think most of them kind of made it up on the spot this morning. I wasn't that impressed with the authenticity of what was taking place there, but they were intentionally using Sabbath school as a time and place to help spur each other on to sharing their faith. And I don't think that I'm ready to sit down and have a tally each week of, Ken, how many people did you witness to, and how many Bible studies did you give, and how many pieces of literature did you pass out? But maybe there's something to having a focus in part of our Sabbath school time on sharing with other people. Anyway, just a thought. It's something we're doing anyway, right? We're going to have Sabbath school anyway. If we could turn it into something that that does more than just the nurture that it already does, maybe there's something worthwhile in that. Maybe we need to put a sign on the door. The church has left the building. And go out into our community. Ooh, she discovered the piano. And go out into our community to do some kind of a project on a Sabbath morning, right? We're going to meet and have worship anyway. Do we have to have worship in the building? Do we have to meet and have worship in the building? Or could we meet and worship, you know, going from door to door, sharing something encouraging with people in our neighborhood? We're going to meet. We're going to worship anyway. Maybe we could turn it into something more than just the purpose that it serves now. All right. What do you think? Any reflections on the comments that I've made?
I think it's a good idea to already kind of what you're already doing in the gifts that you already have. Because in the past, sometimes we get pressured to be evangelists when we don't have that gift. Or to be apostles when that, you know, when we can apostle maybe a little bit with the gifts that we have. But
yeah.
But sometimes there's a lot of pressure to do those sorts of things when that isn't your gift.
And then you feel like you don't do them effectively, or you really struggle to...
You don't want to do them, and then you avoid it, which causes problems. You start avoiding the rest of the body because you're not doing it.
Whatever. Right.
And so using the gifts that you have and the things that you're already doing, I think is a good plan, because I was shaking my head, because doing more just starts to feel like you got to be kidding.
Yeah. And the ministry you guys have of raising your family, that takes precedence in a lot of ways over a lot of the things that we'd love to get you to do for the church, you know, and the rest of us. If family is not going well, then stay home, you know, and be a family. There's a whole lot of... I just remember... And this, obviously, there's a balance here. But I remember coming to church and everyone saying, "Oh, you have such lovely three boys, and oh, such lovely." And me just going, "Yeah, but you don't see us at home. And you don't, you know, that we're, as a family, we're a mess. And you all see us at church and you're happy and everything. But the reality is that we're putting on a good show here at church. But we're not much of, you know, much of a Christian family away from here. So all the different kinds of ministries, there's seasons in your life where you'll be able to do more, you know, actively up front in church and so on, when the focus really needs to be on home. And those labor-intensive young ones. All right, let me see. I'm a little bit disorganized today, as you can tell. But I guess one of the last things that I would like you to think about, and if you have any clarity about it and you can share with us a little bit, then that's great. But if you could do any ministry, right, and money was no object, and you didn't have to get permission from the church, it didn't have to be something that the nominating committee would think of and ask you to do. If you could do any ministry at all, what would you like to do? And I'm not looking to put you on the spot and say, so you've got to do it now, because I realize there are all kinds of circumstances that prevent us from doing the things we'd like to do. But I'd just like you to have that in your mind. You know, what, like when Elisa was doing the bread ministry, right? Well, we got it. Yeah, and you got to eat, right? You're going to cook. So it's something in some ways that you're already doing. And you just expanded it a little bit and made it into an outreach. And it was something that you were excited about doing that fit your gifts. That's the kind of stuff that I'd like to encourage people to consider. How can I...
It requires other people's gifts too, because I have the gift of...
Yeah. And you had...
...and apostleship so much. So I need like Wilder, right. Somebody who's out there connecting all the time.
And it was really neat to have the interplay of those gifts as we saw that happen. You know, Karina told me, she when we were thinking about this question together, she wrote down a whole list of stuff that she would love to be doing. Let's see, where were some of the things? She said she'd love to host a small group outreach Bible study in our house. Well, we're working on renovations, so we'll have enough room to even consider doing something like that. She'd love to have more people over just for meals. We've invited some of our friends and neighbors, and we always have such a wonderful time sharing a meal together. But it's so much work, and our house is so crammed and, you know, small that not a lot of that has happened. She would love to do concerts, you know, to have a music ministry and, you know, put on concerts in the community, or even to record music as a ministry. So, you know, Karina has in her mind, as she thinks about her gifts and what she really enjoys doing and would love to spend her time on, that was kind of a short list that she came up with. And what are some of the things, for any of you who are willing to share anything, that you would love to do if there was nothing else standing in your way?
But on your question, for me, I identify with the seasons thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm in a whole other season now.
Yeah, that's all right.
But
at the same time, I just am encouraging people to think.
My life, I've been a kid and things.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone into a different season of the things that I like to do certain things, but it seems like it's a constraint because there's things that I'm doing already that prevent me from doing what I like to do or what I used to do.
Because you and I were working for a while on some presentations that we could use for, you know, a community outreach kind of a thing. And that was on your initiative because that's something you were excited about doing that we were working on together.
It's like a different
season, perhaps.
But I don't know, sometimes maybe one has to... A lot of it, you can't dictate the season. It's like the weather cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to take what's given to you, which is there's winter time, spring time, summer, and fall.
And there are things that you can't do because it's winter.
I'm trying to get back into a different season, and I'm not... I mean, the things I want to do are not exactly what I'm able to do. Which means I have to go with the...
Yeah, go with the flow and think about what am I doing now that fits with my gifts and my interests and my calling in ministry? Now, how can I turn what I'm already doing into into one of those things as a challenge. Any other reflections? Anybody else thinking of something? Again, I know all of you are already involved in different ministries, you know, that you do. Sometimes, though, we go to work and we don't think of that as a ministry. Did I ever tell you the story about, there's a lady named Samia, and I don't know what kind of a name Samia is, what her background was. I just remember her name from the guy who told me the story. And he was doing a spiritual gift seminar with a group of people. And at the end of the seminar, she came to him and said, I've been working here at her job. I think she was working at the World Bank back in Washington, D.C. She says, I've been working here for 20 years, and I've never had any ministry at my job. And she said, something is wrong with this. I want ministry at my job. And so they actually prayed with her and for her. And this, you know, I run into more people who say, what? Do ministry? I can't do ministry. This is my job. But she understood it was what she was already doing. The relationships she already had with people at her work could be fruitful for God and as part of her Christian experience. And so they had a special anointing for ministry for her. And within a week, she was so swamped with people at work that were asking her about her Christianity and wanted her to study the Bible with them. She didn't know what to do with them. And she actually had to call in a friend, and they set up a Bible study during lunch hour in the World Bank. And she was the person that connected with people and invited people and facilitated the environment. And then her friend came in and taught people the Bible. And they never had a lack of interested people coming on their lunch hour to study the Bible at her work. Because she said, how can I turn something that I'm already doing into ministry? I already work, but how come I don't have any ministry here? What's wrong with me? You know, that this has never turned into an opportunity to share my faith. So, anyway, I guess I just leave that with you. I really would like to see all of you and myself operating gladly in your gifts. And I hear, Ken, sometimes you sound so frustrated. I wish I was doing more. But at the same time, you're enjoying what you are doing, right? The hammer and nail stuff, you love that. And you get satisfaction out of it. And I think for the rest of eternity in heaven, you're going to be building stuff and have a wonderful time. So there's nothing wrong with the creative building. You know, that's part of what God has gifted you to do. But I'd love it if you were able to come here to church and say, hey, my building ministry is going really well. And what I'm already doing, I found a way to do for God in such a way that I'm satisfied, you know, that I am working for God as I'm building. I'd love to for each of us to have that kind of an experience, that what we're doing, we recognize we're doing for God.
Well, you know, I look at our little church and I see all the different talents that we have in the church.
Yeah.
But I would like to see more parts of the body.
Absolutely.
In other words.
And you have such a heart for that.
Yeah, but we are such a few, and we can't, you know.
If we don't have some of this, we just die off. You're right.
Right. But we need some more parts too.
Yeah. And you say, well, I got to eat. So when you go into the cafe, you have your lunch ministry, right? I got to eat anyway. So I might as well eat in a place where I can spend some time with somebody who is interested in hearing the good news. And I say to you, that's a ministry.
But he only talks, comes and brings the chair over when they're just the two of us.
Yeah. Well, and that makes sense. Maybe you need to schedule your lunch hour for 3 o'clock. But that's exciting, you know, to find something that you're already doing that you've got to do anyway, and find a way to either build up the body through it, nurturing people through it, or build up the body by connecting with people outside who may want to come and join. All right. Well, have I given you enough to think about for a little while anyway?